All right, here we go. Galatians chapter 5. You're following along online tonight, this evening. Welcome to Little Sadie Baptist Church, Greenup, Kentucky, 3569 State Route 3307. If you do not have a regular church home of your own, we invite you to worship with us Sunday morning, 10 for Sunday school, 11 o'clock for Sunday morning worship, 6 o'clock on Sunday evening, and 6:45 for Master Club, 7 o'clock on Wednesday night for Bible study and teen time. Again, if you do not have a regular church home of your own, or perhaps even a church that doesn't preach the Bible or gospel, I invite you to worship with us here at Little Sandy Baptist. I'm going to start at 16 to give the direction of the passage. This I say then, Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh, we talked about 16, the lust of the flesh, the source. Now we're going to, the action is, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, in case you forgot one, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So it is a grave situation. It is not something to sneeze at. I would say the principle here, as in 1 John, if it's something that you do habitually and you feel no guilt for, you need to probably be saved. Do Christians fall into these and then repent? Yes. But if this is your lifestyle, an unrepentant lifestyle, you need to receive Christ as personal Savior. And that's what he's saying, I believe. That's the things that you were used to do. That's the works of the flesh. Works of the flesh can never be salvific. The works then, first of all, he outlined the works. And we find, first of all, there are the sensual sins. There was adultery from last time. First blank, immorality involving married individuals. Under there, married individuals. Moitaya there. I've even included the Greek words for you if you want to look up on your own. Adultery, simply that. Some people would believe this also has the idea of porneia. Porneia, we talked about that last time, which means all kinds of physical intimacy, intimate behavior, all kinds of wrong ones. Interestingly enough, it's even coming to the church. I was just reading a statistic today that half of self-identified Christians in the Pew Research in America believe casual intimate relations is sometimes or always acceptable. In America as a whole, in an age group 18 to 31, 78% now in America say it's okay to live together before you're married. No problem in that. 78%. So that we find not only, so it's not only adultery, then the second word he finds for us here in our text is fornication. Porneia, we say it, illicit intimate relations can refer to adultery. Fornication are both the blanks. Fornication at 2. Fornication under the list. Homosexuality, lesbianism, bestiality, and even incest. It's a metaphor for Israel worshiping idols. Adultery, fornication, we understand that. And so that's the two words. We covered those last time. Question number one in your outline. When Christians are immoral, do you think that the testimony of the gospel is polluted? I'd say yes. Very much so. Just reading today, a pastor in Chattanooga, having been going to school in Chattanooga, there's a pastor in Chattanooga who was caught doing things with one of his staff members. He wouldn't resign. Eight before Christmas, eight of his staff members resigned on the spot. His church has gone down, just hemorrhaging members. Why? Because he had no accountability. There was no deacon, there was no one watching over him, and so he had all this authority, had all this money coming in, and no one was watching over him, and men, we need accountability. We need someone to watch over us, and so he got in trouble. The church is collapsing. They had four campuses at one time. It does, and it's going to be a black eye. I was just talking to a gentleman at my work this past week. I think it was Monday. Talking about one of the pastors they have seen on TV, and he has a Bentley. It's like $1 million car, and he has a $2 million mansion, and has all these things. And they're why does it happen? I said, well, there are a few like that. They're in it for the money, and they give the rest of us a bad name sometimes. But most of us are not like that. But there are a few who are living for the financial part of it. We find in 1 Corinthians, if you want to turn over just a moment, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And this idea of fornication is really I know sin is sin, but some have a lot more stronger, more severe consequences. 6:18 of 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sins against what? His own body. So when you're doing this, it's really you're shooting yourself in the foot, if you want to call it that. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Your character is so important. I was just, again, I heard this past week, the last couple of days, how I think it was a former commissioner of baseball said the two key baseball players were not inducted into the Hall of Fame. And this former commissioner said, well, I don't think that taking the steroids should affect the voting into the Hall of Fame. But now if you gamble, now that should be considered. Taking steroids, that's a part of a character problem either way. And so now you may not agree with that, whatever, but it was a character. He said, should not matter. Then let their statistics matter for themselves. But I think who we are is more important. I think than what we do. Who you are. Who you are. So anyway, that's my personal opinion. Take it or leave it. We're going to leave all that. Number three is uncleanness. The third word is akatharsia. There it means to be, it's, the word is impurity. Katharos is the word pure. This is just the opposite. It's like if you were coming to worship a foreign idol, then you, this, there was a ceremonial thing you did to get clean to be able to worship. That was katharos. Akathisia here is just the opposite. It's doing things that make you unfit to approach God. It's even a wider meaning than the word porneia. We're getting from pornography there. It's a wider meaning even than that. Relates to specific sins. This really is a wider meaning. In a medical sense, Hippocrates said this, used to describe an infected, oozing wound with pus and crusty impurities that gather around the sore or wound. That's what the word is for. So it's nothing pretty. It's uncleanness. It is the person people who watch dirty movies, who read pornographic books, who tell dirty jokes, who go places that feature unclothed dancers, and constantly think of immoral subjects as making themselves akatharsia. Just reading again, this, I thought, well, is this really a problem today? Yes, it is. And one site in 2019 on the internet had 42 billion visitors, just one adult site, 42 billion. And I figured out myself, that is 115, that is 115 million. It's a lot. One study, the real reality, this reality and something else get remote writing there says that they believe that 90% or more of young men have views online pornography. And 60% of girls by the time they're 18. It's the impurity that our world is so much inundated with. It's just around us. And we as Christians, I believe, we've gotten a little bit callous to it, I would say. Now the result. The result is this. The person is so besotted in your outline by lust that he simply does not care what people think. He abandons all restraint. He has neither shame nor fear. Now, I'm quoting from a 2004 Exploring Galatians by John Phillips. He says, quoting now, people who march for so-called gay rights fit into this category. On some streets in San Francisco and other major cities, perverts openly flaunt their shame. They are bold and brazen in their wickedness, end quote. What would he write today, almost 20 years later? It's just 20 years. Interestingly enough, I'm not going to be too specific. And by the way, what I read to you, I do change some of the words to keep it from being too specific. But I was reading about a doctor, a female doctor who doctors girls, young girls. And she says about one time a week she have a young wife or girlfriend who comes into her office and her boyfriend or husband has tried to act out on her things that he's seen online and really cause physical damage to her. She said about one a week. And these are Christian guys for the most part. I believe is what she said. The New Testament. This word unclean, we understand what it means. In Acts 5, verse 16. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about into Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits. Now, what does that say to you? Unclean spirits would be demonic possession. So unclean. So I think a lot of the uncleanness is controlled by, instigated by, Demonic spirits. Same with idolatry. I think the demonic spirits have a lot to do with why is idolatry worship so popular? Because demonic spirits, I think, involved in that, and they get involved, etc. In Revelation 16:13, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon. In Revelation 18:2, description of Babylon, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen and have become the habitation of devils and of the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. So unclean, they're really, it's not like, I can't paint a picture. Now, a pretty picture with my wife's cat, Darius, for somehow last few months, he's becoming more of a lap cat. So I could probably just a little bit paint a little bit of a picture like that he has a quality that's good every once in a while. This uncleanness, there's no good qualities. It is absolutely, it's ungood quality without, has none, devoid of anything good I can say about it. Darius, he doesn't eat people food. So there's one good thing. So there, we can find something good to say about him. The uncleanness, there's nothing over here. Nothing. And we are, it's a work of the flesh. So if you see if we as Christians are involved in it, it's wrong. It's a work of the flesh. Lasciviousness, number 4, end of 19, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Aselgaia means unbridled lust. And here's your second word, excess. Excess, licentiousness, lasciviousness, wantonness, outrageousness, shamelessness, insolence, sensuality. Referred to as excess or a lack of restraint, shamelessness, if you would. The absence of restraint, specifically an immoral excess. Aselgaia was used almost exclusively, especially of lewd, immorality, of uninhibited and unabashed lasciviousness. It refers to the kind of debauchery and abandonment that characterizes much of our modern society, says the commentator, and often even flaunted. Where we are today, I would not have dreamt we would be here at this point in time in my life. We are here. It refers to uninhibited indulgence without shame and immorality without concern. I thought of the Jerry Springer show when I thought about that, how just people get on there that's, I've only watched it a couple times in my lifetime, I think, but just like, admit to things like, wow, why would you even admit that privately, let alone on TV? And it's like, well, we don't care, it's just who we are. There's no shame. No shame. It describes the absence of restraint. In Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 12, I was thinking of this today, Jeremiah chapter 8, I was reading in my devotion, I'm reading through Jeremiah, I'm reading all the prophets, Old Testament prophets first in my Bible reading, so I have them out of the way. That's terrible. That's just the way it is. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 12. Were they ashamed, 8:12 of Jeremiah, when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Neither could they blush. We have lost that. The ability to blush. I was reading today that in the India Child Protection Fund, reports that the consumer of child pornography in India during the first COVID lockdown went up 95% in India. Child porn, 95% up in that time when we were, that was back, I guess it was March of 2020. One commentator says it relates to a disposition of the soul incapable of bearing the presence of discipline. The idea that of unbridled self-indulgence and undisciplined obscenity. Question 2, does lasciviousness characterize much of America today? Yes. Yes, it does. Millions and millions look at pornography every single day. Just the statistics on one of the largest is amazing. How many? It's 120 million a day, I think it is, for the one. The great characteristic of Aselgaia, says Barclay, is the bad man usually tries to hide his sin. They have enough respect for common decency not to wish it to be found out. But the man who has lasciviousness, Aselgaia, is the soul that does not care how much he shocks public opinion. Jezebel, who put a shrine to Baal in Jerusalem. She didn't care. I'm going to do what I want to do. I overrule my husband anyway, so I run the country, so I'm going to put it here, and I don't care who knows. What? Sue me! Probably no one had dared her to sue her, get her head chopped off probably, their head chopped off. So that's the idea of brazenly doing what is wrong and don't care, doesn't care who knows it. Page 2, We have first, next we have the sensual, first we had sensual sins, now we have spiritual sins, starting verse 20. So we have adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry. Idolatria. Montaigne said this, man is indeed out of his mind. He cannot even create a flesh worm, yet creates gods by the dozens, by the millions, if you are in India. Question 3, what are some popular idols today? What are some popular idols today?
Athletes.
Singers? Yes. Money? Fame? Never thought about it like that. Ouch.
Sacrilege.
Sacrilegion, yes. Sacrilegion. That's pretty good. That's pretty quick, Mr. Lomek. Pretty quick. I think one of the idols today is personal autonomy. For a lot of people, I think it's the idol of abortion. I think that's become such an idol for some. They have to have that. It's going to be absolute. By the way, even if Roe is overturned in June by the Supreme Court, that's just one battle. Now we're going to have 50 battles. 50 states are going to go back to the states, and each state's going to have to battle how they decide on that. We can still pray. Obviously, we pray and hope it's overturned. But idolatry is alive. Ed Setzer said in the book, Idolatry is Alive Today, says this. He gives this definition. Is it a 12-inch tall piece of wood for bronze can do something bad to us? Wood and bronze can do something bad to us? Or is it that we do something awful to ourselves when we place adoration and attention that should go to God in other things? When it comes to idolatry, the danger, he says, is not in the item. It is in us. Some thoughts there. One man who wrote the book Counterfeit Gods answers the question this way. An idol is anything more important to you than God, anything that absorbs your heart and imagination more than God, and anything that you seek to give you what only God can give. And I looked up the 10 most popular idols today. Identity, money, job status, physical appearance, entertainment, physical intimacy, comfort, phones, technology, family and children, influence and fame. All those are idols. Far more, those affect us. Because I don't think any of us, I don't believe, unless you have one in your closet or about, and I trust you don't, bowing down to a little Buddha somewhere. And yet, Christians have idols by the... Yeah, lots of idols. Now, I thought these were quite convicting here. Listen to these four questions you must ask. This is from Jeffrey Curtis Poor. One, where do I spend my time? Where do I spend my money? Where do I get my joy? What's always on my mind? Where do I spend my time? Where do I spend my money? Where do I get my joy? What's always on my mind? Those are four very important questions. You want to see if you have an idol in your life. Precept Austin says the idea is that it used to be speaks of extreme admiration or reverence for something other than God. Idolatry then specifically is the worship of something created, which is in direct opposition to the worship of the Creator himself. Originally, a physical idol helped visualize the God it represented, but later people worshiped the physical object itself. So, first of all, maybe it'd been the idol thinking about God, and then now it's just the idol. Can you imagine now making an idol and then you fall down to, you're really worshiping yourself when push comes to shove? We are incurably religious. We do not usually think of idolatry as one of the works of the flesh, but it is. It represents religious flesh at its worst. The unregenerate religious man makes an idol from wood or stone and then falls down and worships it. It satisfies his craving to have a visible, tangible God, no matter what the thing, you can neither speak, nor hear, nor talk, nor feel. Norman Bartlett said this, but in so-called Christian lands, hosts of men and women who never sink to such depths of ignorance and superstition as to bow down to images of wood and stone are nevertheless worshippers of idols, wealth, pleasure, power, fame. These they set upon the throne of their hearts, which none but God has a right to occupy. If you're jotting down something, how much better off the world would be if man-made gods were to give way to God-made men. Don't you love that? How much better the world would be if man-made gods were to give way to God-made men. From his commentary on Galatians. Number six, we have witchcraft. Pharmakia there. Man craves contact with the supernatural. Matter of fact, I think there was a TV show, it's still on, called Supernatural Evil Spirits. They are more than willing to oblige people who want to get in contact with them. This word being sorcery, and we talked about that in your outline, but mediums, psychics, Astrologers, necromancers, and soothsayers see the future. What is a necromancer? It's a sorcerer who either contacts the dead or foretells the future by communicating with the dead. So that would be a necromancer. They offer people contact with the unseen world. Is there an unseen world? Well, the next book over, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it is quite abundantly clear, this unseen world. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So clearly, the real battle is what we cannot see. That's really the real battle. And we sometimes think it's just the flesh and blood. It is not. It's your spirit. It's our inward spirit needs to be controlled by God. There's such a battle going on. Perhaps that's why someone has said the rapture is going to happen at such quick speed. So we'll be up and out of here and on our way to heaven so that they cannot gather to combat us as we go up into the air to heaven. That's just an interesting thought. But it's a real battle. Seances, horoscopes, voices, visions, ecstatic utterances, tongues, prophecies, signs, healings, curses, spells, witchcraft is very, very, very real. Especially even has such an upsurge even in our own country. A drug or spell giving potion, but also use of medicinal drugs. English, we have to get a word pharmacy in there. And your outline primarily signified the use of medicine, drugs is your next word, drugs, spells, then poisoning, and then finally sorcery. Used to describe magic. From the Bible handbook, witchcraft translates a word that originally means simply the use of medicine or drugs, but which had the derived meaning of use of drugs for magical purposes later on. It was rendered as they that practice black magic against one another. They do sorcery, they cause curses to come upon the people, or they cause curses by magic. Now, just for a moment, we in America, we've sort of said okay to this, especially the TV. So we have the good witches, and we have those that are bad over here, and the good over here, and we're supposed to be pro these. I think there's even a show called The Good Witch. Is there? I think it's on somewhere. A Good Witch. And oh, now there's just two sources. There's two sources of control and strength in the universe. There's either from God or everything else. So they may show themselves as angels of light, if you would, but. Witchcraft is, whether it's good, indifferent, neutral, or bad, is all not part from God. It's either from God or not. So we have to be careful about allowing those things. We have, I believe, so succumbed to it. I was reading this morning, how Virginia is, as you know, many states have making marijuana, cannabis legal. So Virginia is trying to figure out, the former governor said they're going to start it in 2024. They want to speed it up. So they're trying to figure out how to make it possible for people to get involved in the cannabis industry with equity. I don't know if you know what that term means now, but equity is not, equity means we're going to show favor to those who have been so maligned in the past. Basically, that's what equity means. And the recent bill, there's the current provision. There is an unusual phrase, so they have a new bill that's going to do this. This is quoting now from the briefing. For instance, the proposed legislation that is now considered most likely to succeed in Virginia, quoting now, removes a provision that would give licensing preference to applicants who were convicted or related to someone who is convicted of a marijuana-related crime. The bill, we are told, maintains other proportions of the social equity provisions, such as giving preference to applicants who live in communities disproportionately impacted by drug law enforcement, who graduated from historically black colleges or university in the Commonwealth of Virginia, all in the name of equity. They're going to give special treatment now, what they want to do, to those who have been already charged and convicted of crimes using that very thing. California is in the same quandary. They have thought, they had it all figured out, that we're going to start the cannabis industry and we're going to bring in millions and millions of dollars for our state. The black market is far too much ingrained and cheaper. They're finding out all these grandiose plans have fallen awry. Why is it we are now taxing and we are a nation that's just like imploding. We're just imploding. Our own people. We're taking advantage of our own people in so many ways. witchcraft. I'll wind it up here in just a moment. From an article called from Newsweek Online, Benjamin Fearnow, number of witches rises dramatically across the U.S. as millennials reject Christianity. The number of witches in America, quoting now, practicing Wicca religious rituals increased dramatically since the 1990s, with several recent studies indicating that there are at least 1.5 million witches across the country. A Trinity College study conducted in 1990 estimated only about 8,000 Wiccans in the United States. What does that mean in your outline with 1.5 potential practicing witches across the U.S.? Witchcraft has more followers than the 1.4 million mainline members of the Presbyterian Church. Put it in perspective. From an article, What is Wicca? An Expert in Modern Witchcraft Explains, this is from August the 30th, 2021. Wicca and witchcraft are popping up in pop culture these days, from teenage witches on TikTok to Marvel comic superhero called Wiccan. It has even led New York Times to ask, when did everyone become a witch, which I have part of the article here. The religion differentiates, differentiates itself from more mainstream religions such as Christianity by celebrating a goddess as well as a god. In addition, Wicca lacks a formal institutional structure such as a church and puts more emphasis on ritual and direct spiritual experience than belief. Adherents refer to themselves as practitioners, not believers. That whole little paragraph, do you see what has been raised to the spiritual and religious import of Christianity in that one paragraph? Oh, it's just as important, just as real, just as viable, just as believable, only they're practitioners and not believers. Just as important. Do you see where we've come? We'll stop right there. We need prayer in America. So we find that these are the works of the flesh. Next time, Lord willing, we'll finish them out and get past the negatives and get to the positives, the fruit of the Spirit. But I didn't want to just gloss over those. I wanted to cover those a little bit anyway. Let's pray. Lord, this is a laundry list of things that we are not to be involved in any way, shape, or form. Help us, Lord, to examine our own lives. May we as believers not succumb to the works of the flesh, whatever else not listed even on here. May we walk with the Spirit. If we are walking in the Spirit, that will take care of those things. And we'll be following you and obeying you. And we'll have victory over those by your marvelous grace and power. Lord, give us safety now as we go home. Be with the next couple of days, the weather. I pray it doesn't get too bad. Get safety to those who are out in it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.